In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are today completing the octave of the birth of our Blessed Mother by calling to mind her title, Our Lady of Sorrows. She who from the beginning of her own birth was prepared to be intimately connected to the unfolding of salvation history, experiences all the things that we experience, but never submits to sin, never consents to doubt, despair, even with the weight of suffering and sacrifice that she's asked to endure. In some ways, brothers and sisters, this is a difficult day, precisely because we are called to contemplate the mystery of Our Lady who takes the seven sorrows that pierced her heart and to spend just a moment with her in the midst of those sufferings, especially for those who are mothers who know of the intimate connected with their children, no matter how many children they may have, and the desire that they would literally expend their own life's blood to protect their own children. And yet this mother knew that her son was going to come to harm. Nevertheless, she remained faithful and steadfast, precisely in that moment when she should have, and maybe we would not have begrudged her had she looked away, standing at the foot of the cross. She was even more steadfast and resolute, and truly is Our Lady of Sorrows, sharing in the sufferings, sharing in the passion of our Lord and Savior. There is something literally soul-crushing about suffering, especially suffering that is related to death. We find ourselves caught, if you will, in our memories of what was or what might have been or what should have been or what could have been. And we find ourselves, if we mourn like the pagans do, captive to all of those emotions in such a way that we can truly never move forward. Maybe even now, some of you are experiencing in your own life that suffering and that soul-destroying sorrow that comes from losing those that we love, feeling, how can I ever possibly move on or do anything different or my life continue the same because the one that I loved, however it was that I loved them, is now no longer with me. And yet, precisely because of our faith, do we derive strength. Not a strength of our own making, not a power through our own volition, but a power that comes from our Lord and Savior, who in his own death conquers sin and death once and for all, and gives us the courage and the strength we need to look death in the face and know that we can share in his conquering of death once and for all. And so at the foot of the cross, Our Lady receives this new mission. Having been the Mother of God, she now becomes the Mother of the Church, in a beautiful and particular way, the mother of each of us, to assist us to do precisely what she herself did, to remain at the cross. And in truth, brothers and sisters, the whole Christian dispensation and the foundation of our spiritual lives is built on carrying the cross. The glories of the resurrection, which give meaning and fullness to the mystery of our Lord's suffering, is something that the Father gives to the Son to give to us. It is not something per se that we deserve, certainly nothing we could have anticipated. And so therefore, when we find or think and contemplate the fulfillment of God's plans, it happens on the cross. It is not accidental then that is the precise moment that the Lord uses to care for his mother. There have been those who have written that this particular passage from St. John's Gospel beautifully expresses the solicitude that our Lord has for his mother, and indeed that is true. But it's much more than just making sure that she had a place to rest her head and someone to care for her. It was to show forth to us this new mission, this new responsibility, and it's intimately connected to the mystery of the cross. Because new life now is begun when our Lord's body is broken and his blood is shed and water and blood pour forth from his side. New life is given to us. Death is conquered once and for all. And the first witness is the one who has been the constant, consistent witness, and that is Our Lady. Everyone else has turned away, denying Our Lord, abandoning Our Lord, taunting, teasing, sacrificing Our Lord. But Our Lady and the beloved disciple have not. The youngest and a woman, the worst apostles that one could choose, are the one the Lord invests with the unfolding and the fulfillment and the fullness of this great mystery. The church indeed will be born as she waits for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But now all things are right and restored in the mystery of the cross. And there is Our Lady, who takes John into her heart, and John likewise does the same. As such, the Lord bestows upon each of us this greatest of treasures. But what is required of us is not, if you will, to deplete our Blessed Mother by constantly asking her for graces, but to precede the asking by doing what John himself does, to take Our Lady into our hearts. I preach often about relationship with our Blessed Mother, from this very spot, in this archdiocese, indeed in this country, and even at times around the world. And yet it still amazes me how many people persist in not seeking out a relationship with our Blessed Mother. I don't understand why you would do that. If one struggles, yes, I can understand the struggle. But to abandon the relationship altogether because you find it too difficult, or maybe you've brought into the lies of Protestantism that somehow have convinced us as Catholics that relationship with Our Lady somehow takes away from and distracts from our relationship with the Lord. Therefore, you feel embarrassed or ashamed to foster relationship with Our Lady more than it's the pity. Because certainly it is easy to understand the beauty of relationship with our Blessed Mother in the midst of joy. But it's precisely in our sufferings and our sacrifices and the crosses that we are asked to bear that we must have relationship with our Blessed Mother. Who better to prepare us to stand at the cross, to carry our crosses, to endure the sufferings than she who took all of these things unto her heart and still endured with joy? Her Magnificat does not disappear. It becomes more textured, rich, and vibrant now that she is there witness to the fullness of life that Christ gains for us. And so we too must do what she did. We must love first God completely and totally. It is a beautiful juxtaposition of divine providence that our gospel for this 17th Sunday reminds us that the greatest commandment is that we love as God has loved us. But first, love God. That's what's primary, brothers and sisters. Long before you do the things of God, you must be God. You must take on God's very life. And at the heart of taking on God's very life, of being God, of being with Christ, is to love as He's loved. To put that love into practice, yes. But first and foremost, to rest in that love. Tradition teaches us that it was precisely the love of our Blessed Mother that was so profound that it caused the second person of the Blessed Trinity to leap from His throne in heaven and make His dwelling among us. Her love was so profound, so powerful, that the Lord Himself, who is love, wanted to be with her, and so He chose to make His dwelling in her, literally. This is precisely what we must do as well. And so if you ask yourselves, how do I begin a relationship with Our Lady? What is it that I must do? The answer is that answer that is always given. You must first, last, always, completely and totally, with every fiber of your being, love God. Love our Father in Christ by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Never grow tired of not only doing good, but being good, and being good in loving as you are called to love. This manifests itself in living a life of virtue, patience, forbearance, temperance, fortitude, humility, and all of the other virtues that rest before us. But to put virtue into practice requires love. Because sadly, at times, we will fail to live virtuous lives. But what separates us from the saints is that even at times when the saints may have failed to do, they never forgot who they were, whose they were, and the intimate relationship that they shared. They never lost sight of their dignity as son, daughter, brother, sister. Our Blessed Mother, the woman from the beginning of time, who conquers the dragon, who steps on the serpent's head, always understood who she was. And precisely because of that, was able to endure all things.
When one then steps back from the sadness of the mystery of the cross, the arduous nature of the cross itself, and what it is that is required of us, if we can just for a moment not look past it, but put the cross in the fullness of its mystery, we know, as Our Lady does, that if we love, we will then have the strength we need. And whatever sufferings that we are asked to endure, whatever crosses we may be called to carry, pale in comparison to the manifold graces that God can pour out in our lives. And in those moments where we might find ourselves falling under the pressure of the crosses that we are asked to bear, or the suffering and indeed is too much, or we find ourselves caught up in the nostalgia of the past where we become ossified there instead of moving forward with the Lord, we go to our Blessed Mother. And our Blessed Mother will indeed give us that which we need, not what we want, but that which we need to always be in right relationship with Him. And so maybe boiling all of this down, since at times it is difficult for us to keep two or three or four thoughts in our head, maybe the thought that needs to be in our minds now is the very simple one. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own. From this hour, take Our Lady into your heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.